Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Dogs and more with the man who knows about the pets, because it's Steve Dale's Pet World. Hey, Steve, what's up? You are.
Hey, dog. Good to talk to you.
Hey, dog, what's happening to you, dog man?
you speak urban lingo. Impressive.
I do. Very impressive. Boy, I can say dog with the best of them. That's right.
I happen to know you can also pick up after with the best of them, which is a good thing.
I want to ask you about that, now that you bring that up.
Yes.
By the way, if anybody has any questions about pets, of their behavior, or advice that you need, regardless of what kind of pet it is, this is the guy to ask. 312-981-7200 is the telephone number. 312-981-7200. We're around with Steve Dale. So here's the deal. I'm out with the dog. And the dog does its business, okay?
Yay.
And then it moves a few feet away, and with its rear legs, it seems to, you know, push, you know, like make it, it like digs up the lawn a little bit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But it's not anywhere near. What's going on? Because it's not anywhere near where the deposit was made. You know what I mean? He walks over and does this little thing with his back legs, and that concludes the experience. What's going on there?
I mean, well, we don't really know. It's a question I've been asked before. So
oh, really?
Dogs, dogs do have some behaviors. You know, it's been such a long time since dogs have been wolves. And those silly TV commercials that say, feed your dog like a wolf, they are silly TV commercials. In fact, in many ways, dogs' nutritional needs are more like ours than they are wolves. That's the truth of the matter. Having said that, there are some behaviors that are somewhat wolf-like. It is thought that they don't think about this. It's not that the dog thinks, oh, I'm going to do my business. There's no toilet paper. So instead, I'm going to do this. And what this is identifying the place. Oh, there's grass over here that doesn't look the same. They're identifying their territory. That's maybe what could be going on. And what we do know for a fact is that when dogs do number two, they deposit pheromones right with it that tell every other dog who comes by all sorts of things about that dog. Really personal stuff.
I did not know that. I mean, I knew that dogs like to mark their territory, so to speak. And I even had the experience once where I was out, we'll call it hiking, walking in the country with a dog. And we were by ourselves, a very remote, okay? So I decided that I would relieve myself at the side of the road. I'm out there by I'm out there by myself. You know, there's no one around. Yeah. I'll do that. And I did it. And then my dog comes over, sniffs around, and decides, wait a minute, that's not any good. I'm going to have to mark this territory myself.
So that's very funny.
It was. I'm like, oh, this thing really happens, but it never really had happened to me. My dog just marked his territory where I had been.
You're talking about urine, I believe.
Yes, I am.
Thank you. So I'm glad. But when you may notice that, you know, when you walk your dog, any dog is fascinated by another dog's feces. And that is because there is lots of information in there about the other dog who did its business.
This sounds a little weird, but since you brought it up, what kind of information?
Don't know for sure. We do know that both when dogs actually urinate or defecate, there is information provided in that the contents of which there is thereof. Did that make any sense? But we don't know exactly. What we do, we have some idea that it probably tells that dog that's sniffing the sex of the dog that left it behind, male or female, whether that dog, if it's a female, is in heat or not, that's for sure. Whether it's they don't know that the dog is 9 years, 3 months old, but they do know that the dog may be elderly. They do know the dog may be a puppy. And if the dog is ill, they probably know that too.
Wow.
So there are things that dogs, you know, dogs are just incredible with what they can do with their nose. I mean, as is off the subject of what you want to talk about, I believe, but dogs can identify. We know that dogs can identify various kinds of cancers. We know that dogs can identify COVID-19. And before some basketball games, the Miami basketball games, in fact, for a time, they may still be doing this. I really don't know. I don't think the Miami Heat is playing at this point, so they're probably not doing it. But the Miami Heat was actually hired dogs to stand outside and identify patrons coming in that potentially had COVID. And we also know that the testing, dogs sniffing, is well over 90% accurate, and that's more accurate than some of the quick tests that are out there.
Yeah.
Are more accurate.
Yes, and way more fun. I might add.
I think so. I think so. But there's so much that we're even learning about what dogs can do. The ovarian cancer, what's it called? Ovarian Cancer Research Institute, something to that effect. They're based in Chicago, actually. And it is the former, I don't want to say her name on the air necessarily, but
okay.
They are the former owners of the 95th restaurant in the Hancock building.
Sure.
And she knew she had cancer because her dog identified it. Sadly, it was ovarian cancer. As happens with ovarian cancer, it was too late. But what they're now raising money quite successfully to do is to train dogs to identify ovarian cancer. Now, there are not going to be dogs, unfortunately, at every doctor's office in the country. However, if dogs can do this, then the researcher, Dr. Cindy Otto, who I happen to know, says that she's really confident they can create, from what the dogs are identifying, a blood test, which we currently don't have, a quick, accurate blood test to identify ovarian cancer early. And she also says if we could do that for ovarian cancer, we could probably replicate for stomach cancer, for esophageal cancer, and other kinds of cancers which are more difficult to identify early, which is the secret to treating those cancers. I mean, it is just absolutely incredible. Ron Santo, too long of a story to tell here. I was actually talking to him on the radio about all this, about the idea that dogs can identify diabetes, because it happened to him. It's, again, too long of a story to tell right now. But out of that, the Ron Santo Diabetes Alert Foundation began by his wife, Vicky Santo, that's still in existence. And what those dogs can do is truly life-changing for people, because for juvenile diabetes, mom and dad are like awake half the night, worried about their child. You know, what's going to happen at 3 a.m? Having confidence that the dog will alert them and also wake the child is just life-changing, not only for that child, but also for mom and dad and the siblings in the household. And it really does work. And I can go on about seizure-detecting dogs.
Well, wait a minute.
Dogs that actually develop heart issues.
Oh, I mean, hold on a second.
But identify.
We got a caller who's not. I think they just want to talk about getting the dog's nails trimmed. Let's go to.
Sure. No problem.
Hey, Mike, you're on the air. Hello.
Hey, how are we doing, guys?
Good.
Hey, Mike.
So I have a 13-year-old Chihuahua, and she hasn't had her nails trimmed in about 8-10 years. The last time we went to the vet, it took 2 muzzles, 2 grown men, and a small boy, and they still couldn't trim this dog's nails.
How long has it been?
Oh, 8 or 10 years.
What?
Oh, my gosh. Okay. So when the nails continue to grow, they actually begin to curve?
Yeah.
And at that point, the dog is walking in such a way where the gait is affected, the dog can develop arthritis, the nails can become embedded into the skin. Not good. So at this point in time, what you need to do is get the nails trimmed. Now, I can talk to you about how to train even an old dog to accept that. But right now, my suggestion, I mean, your veterinarian will know by looking at your dog, and there are pharmaceuticals that will absolutely relax your dog, and who may need a heavier dose than some dogs, but, you know, you need to get those nails trimmed. Now, to have 12 people hold down the dog. You know what? I was talking to a veterinary technician who was telling me the story, and the story is that she and six other technicians had to hold down a dog that wasn't much larger than the dog, a dog you're talking about, and she had a backache for 3 days. If she had a backache for 3 days and there's like lots of other technicians helping her, imagine how that dog felt. We can do better. Look for a veterinary practice that's fear-free. They don't believe in holding down dogs. They believe in using other means that are, in my view, far more humane and will get the job done just as quickly.
All right. Thanks for the call. We're going to do more with Steve when we come back on 720 WGN. 720 WGN, John Landecker at 923, talking dogs and pets with Steve. And I know that there's one thing that's close to your heart, because I saw you did an article on it, and I couldn't agree with you more, that Illinois is now set to be the fifth state to ban sales of dogs and cats at pet stores, which is just really a great thing. Yeah.
It is a great thing, so thank you for bringing that up. You know,
sure.
No responsible breeder, sir, will ever, ever, ever sell to a pet store. So that means they're getting their dogs from large facilities, many of which we call puppy mills.
Mm-hmm.
I hope I don't have to explain why those places are horrible. I've been there in raids, and I've seen firsthand what it's like, and it is even worse. I mean, these are places that the officials, the authorities, have to go in with gas masks because it's that bad. I mean, you know, and the dogs are brought up there. And maybe your dog at the pet store that you purchase for a whole lot of money is going to be just fine. Maybe. But think of the mother that whelped that dog. And when those dogs can no longer have puppies and the dads can no longer sire puppies, they're just done away with in ways that are horrific. And, you know, for a nation that shares their beds with their dogs, it's unfathomable to me, and I do too, but it's shocking that we allow this to happen. So a bunch of folks online said we don't allow it anymore. It began quite organically, this movement, at the beginning. And Chicago was one of the cities that said no dogs or cats can be sold at pet stores. But now it looks like, and please contact the governor's office if you support this, because we just have to wait for him to sign the bill, because it looks like Illinois, and I suspect he will, Illinois will become the fifth state in America, statewide, to say, no, enough is enough. You cannot sell dogs or cats at pet stores.
Yeah, if you think about it, even just for half a second, just the whole concept of getting an animal at a pet store is pretty repugnant. I mean, it just has always rubbed me the wrong way, and I'm glad to hear that that you're involved with this, and that hopefully the governor will sign it into legislation very soon. In the time we have left, let's talk a little bit about protecting our dogs and other pets from the heat wave that we're about to get. It's supposed to get in. It's supposed to get into the 90s, as I understand, in the next few days. Plus, you know, the humidity and the heat index and all of that. What should we be looking out for, Steve?
Well, for starters, don't leave dogs in hot cars. And even if you think you're going to run in that convenience store for a minute, it might turn out to be 20 minutes. And in 20 minutes, even with the windows open a crack, a car, if it's 90 degrees outside, can heat up and does heat up to well over 120 degrees. That dog may die. What's more, dogs do not do as well as humans do at releasing heat. Yeah. We sweat, they pant. Sweating is far more efficient. So consider that, please. If you're hot, you know your dog is hot. If the tongue is hanging out, literally hanging out of the dog's mouth, the dog is panting. I mean, over panting typically from what you see, then you have a dog that potentially is about to go into heat stroke. Now, what we can do is try to keep our dogs cool. What we can do is be an appropriate dad or mom and keep an eye on our dogs. You know, some dogs, like that goofy Labrador, will keep going and going after that tennis ball 100 times, even if it's 90 degrees sometimes.
Yeah.
And you have to know when to stop. And by the way, pavement pavement can get really hot. And sometimes, especially if it's, now this is up to you, do you say asphalt or asphalt?
I'm ambivalent. Either way, it's hot.
Either way, it's really hot. So much so, it can burn a dog's paws.
Absolutely. Well, I've been noticing, you know, you mentioned the tongue hanging out. And that's what I've been keeping track of when I walk my dog, because the temperatures have varied over the past couple of weeks. The past couple of days, very, very tolerable. But there were some points where it was getting, the humidity was rising, the temperature was rising. And I'm walking him, and I'm just waiting to see what happens with the tongue. And as soon as that tongue starts coming out of his mouth, it's time to go home. Because that's the indication that, you know, his personal heat is rising, and that's the only way that you can keep track of where the dog is at temperature-wise. And it's a very easy way to use as a barometer. I mean, it couldn't be easier if you're walking the dog and all of a sudden the tongue is hanging out and it's a little bit more than usual, then it's time to get some shade, get some water, get home and cool off. Not only for
there you,
but the dog too. Yeah. Well, thanks, Steve.
I agree.
Thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Sir John Landecker. It is always good to talk to you.